This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
By working together as a community, we can make a difference and end sexual assault in Texas. For information on how you can help raise awareness in our community, contact your local Rape Crisis Center at 1-800-256-0611 or in Galveston, 1-888-919-7233. This is KPFT, Houston.
Billy Ray was the preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gather around and started talking, that's when Billy would take me walking. In the backyard we'd go walking, then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. He was
what
he was.
What?
Talking to me, come and tell me everything is alright. Kiss and tell me now everything is alright. Can we get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Was in his eyes, stealing kisses from me on the side, taking time to make time, telling me he's all mine, but learning from each other's knowing, looking to see how much we brought, and the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man.
Hold on and be brave.
but I cannot hide my sorrow when they. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord? By and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, broadcasting our season finale on Friday, the 14th, tax day cometh. Which means I got to get a calculator here tomorrow. Running a little behind. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. Welcome to our last show on Friday nights. As unlike what we reported last week, this is the last Friday night show.
Yep.
We had a little misinformation there. So when you tune in next Friday night, you are going to hear
Pat and Rosie's Night Sounds.
Yes, you will. Well, actually, you'll be hearing a little bit more of Dead Air.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you'll be hearing Pat and Rosie's Night Sounds from 2 until 4. But when you tune in on Saturday nights, if you tune in at midnight, you're going to hear a brand new show called Hot and Bothered. It's going to be two women talking about gender issues. I think that's a pretty damn good lead-in for After Hours.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually probably going to put us on their toes. I mean, we're just going to have to, you know, just maybe get a little bit more nasty than we normally do. I don't know.
Oh, just wait. When we introduce them to Gigi.
Oh, yeah. They'll run screaming from the room.
That's our plan to take back midnight.
So, let's see. This is Easter weekend. Yes, indeed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I need my Wawa.
Oh, okay.
I left my ninny bottle in the back there.
And I want to say hello and congratulate NLA, National Leather Association. They're doing the Spring Iniquity this weekend.
Was last night or this night, tonight, the Midtown night?
No, actually I have it here. Friday night they were having a reception by NLA with other Ripcord host clubs sponsoring one-hour receptions afterwards. And while this is happening, the Lone Star Rubber Corps will had the back area reserved for a private party. Admittance only with the 15th anniversary run pins. Now, tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, they're going to meet at Mary's at 10 o'clock for breakfast, done by Bubbles, John Dye, and the Colt 45s, with receptions at Mary's host by Mary's Hosts Clubs. They don't call them cocktail parties anymore. They're receptions. I don't understand it.
I don't know. I was told it was in a cocktail party, not a reception.
Yeah, well. And games and activities will abound.
Ripcord back patio, games and activities abound.
And Saturday afternoon, it's off to the baths. We'll head over to the Midtown Spa, where we'll have snacks and punch provided by the management. Women are invited, but restricted to the first floor.
We passed by the Midtown coming in today, and it was like, man, they're a little packed in there.
I see some out-of-town people maybe checking that out early. And then after the baths, they're going over to Hollywood Chinese Restaurant for dinner. Then back to the Ripcord for more receptions. The award ceremony and the placement of the new board.
New board?
New board. That's what it says. That's what it says.
I guess like many things in this community, the rumors that we heard were...
Yes. Well, I just told you that they were starting out Saturday, Mary's at 10 o'clock for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is going to be a new thing going on at Mary's, especially on Sunday. Sunday. Mary's will be opening up at 10 o'clock because they will be serving breakfast.
And that's how they can get away with it.
And that's how they can, that's how they can open at 10 o'clock rather than noon, which is the regulation on Sunday, unless you serve breakfast. Then they don't mean kolaches. They mean breakfast. So this breakfast on Easter Sunday is featuring breakfast tacos. And that's being done by Jeff Wallace and Gerald McNeil of the Space City Empire, ICOH. And ICOH will be doing breakfast every Sunday morning. Yes. 10 o'clock. And then, of course, after breakfast, Mary's naturally is the place to be for the annual Easter celebration, because at noon there is the bonnet contest bar run. And at 1 p.m. is the Easter egg hunt. Oh, that ought to be fun. Just the mind boggles as to where they can hide them and how you find them.
I should have sent you that picture of that one website that was showing an Easter egg.
And then at 2 p.m. is the high heel race. So for those of you not going to Bunnies on the Bayou, Mary's is the place to be.
Drag racing in a whole different new
sense. Yes. See, what they do, they get a bunch of guys in heels, and they run over to Kroger's, and they have money and a list of certain things that they have to buy. And they have to buy the exact things, or it's, you know, the money won't add up right. So they're going to be running around all over Kroger in their high heels, grabbing this stuff up to ring up and get back to Mary's to win the high heel contest.
I think the contest should be you run over to Kroger, and you're in the high heels, and you have to buy a roll of Saran wrap, a cucumber, and a can of Crisco. Just to look at the little old lady coming out of the who just came home from the Baptist church on Easter Sunday, who needed cranberry sauce to go with her turkey.
No, it's ham on Easter, honey.
My family's duck.
Oh.
Oh, my God. It's old. You know, talking about homecoming.
Yeah.
Turn around.
Robert! Hi, honey.
you're here for our last Friday show.
That's what I'm told, that the show is now moving back to
Saturday night.
Yes. Sunday morning, yes. And that we still don't get to keep the hour.
No. Same time that we're on now, 1 to 4.
Same bat time, same bat channel, different day.
Different day.
Hello.
Welcome home.
Thank you.
And then next week we have another homecoming.
Who?
The return of Stacy.
Oh.
Ran into Stacy over at Walgreens.
Did you now?
And made sure that she knew it was here. And,
oh, terrific.
Was Stacey quite happy.
Pierce Stacy?
Tattooed Pierce Stacy.
Male Stacy.
Only one.
Okay.
Male.
Stacy's only down to one piercing.
Oh, goodness.
Whoa.
Goodness.
Yeah. So we got to get Mr. Max to get a piercing show together, mm-hmm. and we'll take care of, we'll get Stacy back up to.
Oh, my. Yes, yes, yes. And on another note, when we're speaking of After Hours alumni, the Big Roy called. He is in Ben Taub again.
Oh.
He had some breathing difficulties, and in fact, it was one day last week when I saw him here at the station. And he left to catch the bus, and he had problems breathing, and the cop stopped and called the ambulance, and he's in Ben Taub. He'll be there over the weekend.
Huh.
Well, I wish him luck.
So he's going to have to find his egg somewhere. I don't know where, but he'll
If he's lucky, he'll be able to plead enough that he needs a sponge bath.
He knows where he left his egg. He's trying to find somebody else's that gets in trouble.
Yes, I suppose that's probably right. Yes. So, let's see. Other things going on in the community. Of course, Bunny's on the Bayou. And folks from ICOH will be bartending over there because they're one of the recipients for the Lexi Bowen Fund, which provides money for GLBT people who have non-aid problems.
It's kind of an emergency fund.
Emergency fund for somebody down on their luck, you know, in the community.
Legal issues.
Yeah.
Without a job.
Anything like that, you know.
Well, half the people on this show be signing up for that.
Well.
Speak for yourself, mister. I run and hide. Hoping my problems will just go away.
And then on Monday, the 17th, stop by Mary's because that's the monthly birthday celebration. They always have cakes and snacks and stuff for people who are having birthdays in that particular month.
In this case, April.
Yes. And Wednesday is always the jukebox show. That's always a lot of fun. It starts around 9. And, something else that we need to promote. It's happening on the third Thursday of every month. The first and third. There's steak night at the Ripcord, done by the Fire Dancers. That's from 5:30 to 8:30.
Yes. They moved that from Sundays.
Yes. So, and one other thing that I want to put out, because it's still in April. I've got quite a few things for, like, May already.
I got something here for June.
I have one for June, too. Kindred Spirits is having its fifth annual Kindred Spirits celebration on Saturday, April the 29th, 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. at the Edwin Hornberger Center, 2151 West Holcomb. Music by Terry Flores, DJ at Bocados. And this is benefiting the women's programs. Beneficiaries include Assisters and Bearing Support Group, Houston Buyers Club, and the Lesbian Health Initiative. Kindred Spirits was a wonderful, wonderful dance club way back when. But it was welcoming of both men and women, and they played a variety of music, not just dance music, but country and western and waltzes and all kinds of different types of music. So that you could actually hold on to your partner every now and then.
Why would you want to do that?
Because sometimes he's not your boyfriend.
I guess when you grew up doing the waltz, anything reminds you of that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The Center for AIDS Information and Advocacy is having one of their conversations at the CFA.
Mm-hmm.
Oral Health and HIV Disease.
Cool.
Presented by C. Mark Nichols, dentist,
mm-hmm.
And Vice President of Clinical Affairs. It's on Wednesday, April 26th, from 6 to 8 p.m., at the Center of AIDS, 1407 Hawthorne.
That's just right down the block from Bering.
Yeah. A light dinner and beverages will be provided for those who RSVP.
Mm-hmm.
To RSVP, contact Bernie Vasquez at 713-527-8219 or send an email to Bernie at centerforaids.org. And this is sponsored by Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, and Bunnies on the Bayou.
Oh, cool.
Taking it up for another week so I can. Let's see, I did the Easter celebration.
Mm-hmm.
At Mary's. Garden Parties May. You already have that, or?
No, I didn't do that one, but go ahead because that's Jim Crawford. He's terrific.
Yeah, I read the whole thing last week. I'm just going to go. His Highness Imperial Prince Jim Crawford presents May Flowers Are in Bloom, a Garden Party. I guess it's a garden party, not the garden party.
Not the garden party, because the garden party doesn't happen anymore.
Ah. On Saturday, May 6th, at Keys West, from 7 to 9 p.m., benefiting Legacy Community Health Services, Body Positive, and AFH Camp Hope,
mm-hmm.
all through the Ariscus at Coronation...
Ariscus. Empire of the Royal Sovereign, yeah, Imperial Court of the Same Star. Yeah.
I was getting stuck on the Roman numerals. So it was at the wrong angle for me to see.
Oh.
I was seeing an extra X in there.
Isn't it 23?
Yeah, 23. I was seeing 33 for some reason. God, I need a job so I get new glasses. So that's Keys West on Saturday, May 6th. And then...
The new Empress is Dee Dee DeMarco. And Emperor Consort, I guess, is, I guess that's the title, would be Ronnie Siebert.
I don't remember all the titles they gave out that last night. I'm lucky I remember the one I got. Also, now coming in June, the 12th annual Mr. and Ms. Gay Pride Houston 2006 contest.
Yes.
And that'll be on June 4th at 7 p.m. at Keys West Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Registration is at 6 p.m. You can pick up your application now. There is an application fee.
Mm-hmm.
Presentation of your choice of the pride colors, a 5-minute talent show, formal and evening wear, and question and answer section. And
I guess that's 5-minute talent show per person.
It says max.
Oh.
So. Depending on how much talent they can have there. So,
mm-hmm.
With the reigning royalty of Cheyenne, Crystal Sparkles Boy, Prado.
Yes.
And Chris Volk, a.k.a. Sushi. That's what it says here.
Yeah, I know her. She's a female. She was the Dyke Diva last year. She just gave up her title last week or so.
Proceeds from the contest will benefit Legacy Community Health Services, Body Positive, AIDS Foundation, Houston Camp Hope. That's also through Coronation 23 of the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star of Houston Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
Bibbidi bobbidi boo. For more information, contact Stella Links.
Stella Links Seville.
Okay, I thought it was DeVille, and I was thinking
no, Seville.
Seville. Boy, it tells you a lot of information with her email address. The email is elmer917 at yahoo, or contact 713-463-6705. So you can go pick up your applications now at Keys West.
Yes.
That's all I got.
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah, I don't think I got anything.
Okay.
Unless somebody's writing something new.
I doubt it. Well, the lesbian hour is not going to happen tonight.
Yeah, well.
I know. Diane Rose called, and she couldn't get a guest for tonight, and it was close to Easter, and blah, 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 so she begged off, and she'll be back next month. She's got a guest for next month and the month after that. Of course... I had to break the news to her that next month she'll be on Saturday night rather than Friday night. She said, oh. I don't know if that's bad or good. And I said, oh, that's good. You know, if your guests don't show up, you can just drag somebody in from the bar.
Yeah, but they should want to get out early. And
Well. Anyway.
So, I guess what we'll do is we'll get a little bit of music, figure out what we're going to do, and we'll find that it's... I don't know.
Okay, let's go to a piece of music.
That's a little long one here. This is After Hours. It's a 6-minute song.
Oh, the song.
Yeah. So, we'll be back. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. That was Nunez from her CD, Cry Mercy, I Walk Alone. And we're going to bring up a little something from the KPFT After Hours archives. Interview, so old, it's for a special program that was done on cassette, so gives you a time of the age. Reflections of a Rock Lobster. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude.
Billy, Aaron, come downstairs, please. Billy, where are you two hiding? Come down here right now. Young man, what are you doing in there? Open this closet door at once. What are you two doing? Billy, I've told you to keep those britches on, young man. Aaron Frick, get out of this house immediately. Your mother's going to hear about this. Get out of that closet now.
Aaron Frick's Reflections of a Rock Lobster. Starring Benjamin Kaiser as Aaron. Andrew Soller as Peter. Richard McElvain as Mr. Lynch. And Kenneth Densky as John. With Nora Sinclair, William Cadmus, Virginia Mazur, Joseph Schran, Michelle Gabel, Bob Ozarek, David Erskine, David Strasberger, Peter Hayden, and Alan Zaremba. Written by Richard Sigelkow. Based on the book and original material by Aaron Frick. Directed by Nicholas Deutsch. Produced by Wesley Horner.
We were at the beach. Everybody had matching towels.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. United States District Court for the District of Rhode Island is now in session. The Honorable Chief Judge Patin presiding. All rise.
Be seated. In the matter of Frick versus Lynch, show that the following opinion was entered into the record May 28, 1980. Most of the time, a young man's choice of a date for the senior prom is of no great interest to anyone other than the student, his companion, and perhaps a few of their classmates. But in Aaron Frick's case, the school authorities actively disapprove of his choice. The other students are upset, the community is abuzz, and the out-of-state newspapers consider the matter newsworthy. All of this fuss arises because Aaron Frick's intended escort is another young man. The seeds of the present conflict were planted a year ago when Peter Grayson, then a junior at Cumberland High School, sought permission to bring a male escort to the junior prom. The principal, Richard Lynch, denied the request. At that time, Aaron Frick was a friend of Peter's and supported his position regarding the dance. Peter Grayson subsequently left Cumberland High School. He now lives in New York City. But the emotionally charged issues surrounding his request persisted into the following year.
Finally, I want to say something about responsibility. I've been your principal for 3 years, and I've seen you mature during that time, some more than others. But you're all seniors now, and as seniors, each and every one of you is responsible for your younger classmates. Now, they'll be looking up to you to set a good example. It doesn't take much for that one problem student to ruin it for all the rest. I'm sure most of you know the problem I'm talking about, but that was last year. This year, we won't have to put up with that problem anymore. This year is going to be a good year at Cumberland High.
And Ann, how are you?
Aaron, it's good to see you.
How was your summer?
Oh, it was okay. I'm glad to be back in school.
I'm not too thrilled about it, especially with a welcome speech like that.
Yeah, Mr. Lynch is too much. Listen, Aaron, I've got to run. I'll call you tonight.
Okay, Ann, I'll talk to you. Hey, Bob. Bob, wait up. It's me, Aaron. Aaron Frick.
Yeah, I know who you are. What do you want?
I just wanted to say hello. Long time no see.
Well, I've been busy.
Oh, sure. I understand.
Bob, where did you go? I've been looking all over.
Talking to Aaron.
What were you talking to him for?
Never mind. Let's get out of here.
I'm going that way, too.
Get lost, Agfay.
So long, Bob.
Hello?
Peter, it's me.
Aaron! God, I'm glad you called. How was the first day back at school?
It was the pits. Lynch gave one of his great speeches. You'll never guess what he said about you.
I can't wait.
He said you were the problem from last year.
Wonderful. Just what I always wanted to be.
Yeah, now that you're gone, he thinks the whole school is straight. I saw Ann today. We're in biology together.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and we're going to do Thurber Carnival this term.
Great. You're a natural for the carnival. A born star.
Right. No, really, thank God for the drama club. Something else happened today. I saw this old friend of mine, Bob Cote. He's going out with Bea DeVolch.
Uh-oh, the Wicked Witch of Cumberland High.
Yeah, right. But, you know, when I said hello to Bob, he acted like he hardly even knew me. It was like our friendship didn't mean anything to him.
What did you expect?
I don't know. Just some sign he cared, that's all.
He's one scared guy, Aaron. He's afraid to get near you, let alone show that he cares. You ought to know that by now.
Yeah, I guess so. Peter, I really miss you.
I miss you too.
You wouldn't believe the impression you left on Cumberland High. If nothing else, you've gotten them to say the word gay at least 600 times a day. I do miss having you here.
I'll be up.
Aaron? Kind of late to be talking on the phone, isn't it?
Yeah, Dad. I was just getting off. Listen, I've got to go. I'll talk to you later, okay? Bye. Okay, who did it?
Did what?
Look in the locker. Somebody spit on my clothes again.
Prove it, homo.
Where are you going?
Yeah, Frick, what is it?
I'd like permission to leave gym class early.
What for?
Someone's been spitting on my clothes when I'm in the shower. It's like the fourth time it's happened.
I don't understand, Frick. What's leaving early got to do with it?
Well, it wouldn't happen if I could get dressed before everyone else.
Class is over when the bell rings. Those are the rules. If you don't like the rules, then talk to Mr. Lynch about it.
All right, I will.
Aaron, I can understand why you want to leave gym class early, but, I just wonder how the other students are going to feel.
The other students?
We don't want to look like we're favoring anyone.
No, sir.
You're friends with Peter Grayson, aren't you?
Yeah, we're friends. But I don't see what that
is. Now, just a minute, Aaron. Don't you think the other fellows know you're friends with Peter? And don't you think that's why they're giving you such a hard time?
No, sir, I don't. I don't think Peter has anything to do with it.
I see. Well, leaving gym class early won't solve the problem, not in my opinion.
What if I transferred, took another class?
You could. Of course, we'd have to tell your parents.
My parents?
Well, we couldn't do that without their approval. Should we call them? Or do you want to think it over first? It's up to you.
So what'd you tell him?
I told him to forget it. I don't want my parents to know that I'm gay.
Listen, sweetheart, if they don't know by now, you should be up for an Academy Award.
Very funny, John.
I'm sorry if I offended you. God.
The old Metro parking lot is really hopping tonight. And look who's cruising us in a station wagon, no less.
Big deal. I've seen him here before. Sometimes I think I'm a rock lobster. No claws. Always hiding in my little shell. Always afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of myself? What?
Ooh, why so serious? What's the matter with you tonight?
I just feel so helpless sometimes. You know, Peter wouldn't have taken that crap from Lynch.
You still miss him, don't you?
Yeah, I miss him a lot. Peter was the first person I ever met who was proud of being gay. I want to be proud. Oh, I don't know what I want. I just don't want to lie and hide anymore. That's all. Like Peter. Peter had all the nerve.
And look where it got him. Kicked out of the house by his parents. He had to leave town. All on account of that stupid prom.
Well, if being yourself means getting into trouble, then maybe staying out of trouble isn't such a great idea.
Listen, honey, you don't have to tell me that. I've always been myself. But pride or no pride, you don't pick a fight unless you know you can win it. Aaron, you've got to go easier on yourself. Give yourself time. You want some of this?
No. Go ahead.
Check out Mr. Muscles over there.
Which one? In the Honda?
Not him. The hunky number in the little Chevy.
Oh, yeah. It's getting kind of crowded.
I know. Isn't it fabulous? So many men, so little time.
Aaron, could you come over here?
Yeah, Dad. What is it?
Do you know anything about this?
No. No, it's the first time I've seen it.
Now, why in the hell would somebody spray paint gay on our front door?
God, I don't know. Maybe it was some kids playing around.
You're probably right. Anyhow, there's some paint remover in the garage. Why don't you clean it off?
Sure.
Oh, and Aaron?
Yeah.
I wouldn't tell your mother about this. It might upset her.
Okay, fine. I wasn't going to say anything anyways.
Hey, Aaron, what are you doing in the library?
Don't tell anyone. I'm cutting gym class.
I don't care what you're cutting. I want to talk to you. Last night, I was hitching back from Providence, and this old guy picks me up. He was like in his 40s. So we're driving along, and he starts asking me if I'd ever made it with another man before. Then he pulls off the road, and he starts putting the moves on me. Jesus, I didn't know what to do. So I jumped out of the car, and I waited until he left. Then I caught another ride.
What are you telling me this for?
Because you're a faggot, man. Everybody knows that. And I sort of thought you could explain it to me.
Nothing like being the school queer. Look, why don't you call the gay helpline and tell them what happened? I'll give you the number.
I will. I'll call. There's something else.
Yeah? What's that?
I want you to give me a blowjob.
What? Are you crazy?
Come on. Just do it.
Is that you, Frick?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you supposed to be in gym class today?
Well, there's a reason why...
Save it for Lynch. You're coming with me.
You're in trouble now, man.
Just call that number.
I said move it, Frick.
All right, I'm coming.
I thought we had an understanding, Aaron. I thought that you were going to work through this little problem of yours.
Mr. Lynch, it's just that gym class. You don't know what it's like in there for me.
But that's not what we're here to talk about. What it's like for you, is it, Aaron?
Then what are we here to talk about?
Don't you use that tone of voice with me. I'll show you what you're here for. You know what this is?
No.
It's your attendance report. It says you've skipped gym class 4 times in the last 2 weeks. I could suspend you for that, but regular suspension would be too lenient. And so I'm giving you 3 days of in-house suspension instead. And I don't want ever to hear about this problem of yours again. Do you understand that, Aaron?
I understand. I don't think it's fair.
I could care less what you think. Now get your books and go to suspension hall.
Peter Grayson. I'm not home right now, but you can leave a message right after the beep. Bye.
Peter, it's Aaron. I was just calling to say hello. John and I are going to Newport to see Rocky Horror again, and we'll probably cruise the Metro parking lot after that. So anyways, I'll call you back later tonight. Bye.
Can never be the same.
What a night! My dear, you were definitely too much. When you showered the entire front row with rice, I nearly died.
And John, you never looked more gorgeous. That gown is you.
Put me in magenta, and girls, eat your hearts out. Oh,
we've got to go back. Next week.
Yeah. Oh, slow down. We're almost at the Metro. We mustn't look too eager.
Hey, the place is empty.
Where is everyone? We've got company. Looking for someone?
Get the hell out of here.
Ask nicely.
I ain't gonna ask you to do nothing, you fucking queer.
If you want us out, you'll have to make us leave.
Aaron, he's got a crowbar. Let's get out of here fast.
I said beat it, faggot.
Did you see him? He wanted to kill us. You were lucky to get out of here.
God damn it. Any place in town safe for us? Where the hell are we supposed to go?
There will be a short quiz tomorrow on chapters 9 and 10. That's all for today. Aaron, could you stay after class for a moment? I want to speak with you.
Yes, Mrs. Murdoch.
And lunch.
What is the meaning of this paper you handed in the other day?
I thought I was doing the assignment.
The assignment was to write a paper on a topic that interests you. Homosexuality is an improper subject.
But I am interested in it.
Well, no one else is. You're getting an F on this report.
Here he comes.
Cut it out, Bea. Leave him alone.
Well, Bob, what do you care?
Hello, Aaron.
Oh, hello, Bea. Hi, Bob.
We were wondering if you asked anyone to the prom yet.
No, I thought I'd skip the prom this year.
What's the matter? Couldn't you find any boys to go with?
Yes?
Mr. Lynch, I've got a complaint to make.
Do you have an appointment to see me here?
No, I don't need an appointment. Look at this. Look at my back. Do you know what that is? It's what's left of the animal parts they're throwing at me in biology class.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but you'll have to take it up with the assistant principal, Mr. DeGose.
No, I want to take it up with you. I want to know what you're going to do about it.
Well, Aaron, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Your classmates know all about your friendship with Peter Grayson. What happened is to be expected.
That gives them the right to call me faggot and then queer because I know Peter Grayson?
You should have thought of that before you started spending time with him.
I thought you were supposed to protect the students. Every student, including me.
I've heard just about enough from you, Aaron.
You're going to hear a whole lot more from now on.
Now, you just wait a minute, young man. I'm not finished with you yet.
Well, I'm finished. Because if this is your idea of protection, I'm better off on my own.
Hello?
Peter, it's me.
Aaron, what time is it?
It's about 2 a.m. Listen, I did it. I finally told my parents I'm gay.
Hey, that's great. How'd they take it?
Well, my mother kind of suspected. But my father, he just broke down and cried.
You're kidding.
No, it was pretty bad. He was sitting at the kitchen table. He didn't say anything. The tears just rolled down his face.
That's okay. You'll get over it.
God, I hope so. It was awful.
How do you feel? That's the important thing.
I feel all right. I really do. I mean, there were so many times when I'd wonder, did they know? God, all the lies I'd told to keep them from finding out about me. They didn't even realize who their own son was. What it was like at school. What I'd been going through. I just couldn't keep living like that anymore. I had to tell them.
You did the right thing.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know what's really funny? Now that I've told my parents, I feel like telling everybody. The whole world.
So what's stopping you? Go ahead and do it.
Dear Aaron, you asked me what I think about you asking Peter to go to the prom. Last year, Peter's attempt to bring a guy to the prom was seen by most people, in fact, I think by all, as a grab at publicity. That was because no one knew Peter. He just showed up out of a clear blue sky and raised a ruckus. Since you've been in Cumberland much longer and have more close friends, people won't suspect you of such ill motive so easily, but this is what they will think. 1, Peter made you do it. 2, you're crazy. And 3, you believe in gay rights. In that order. Now, I know you did it for reason number 3, gay rights. But you should think about how other people are going to react. And I think you should make an effort to explain what you believe. I respect any decision you make, as long as you really think about it carefully. Love, Anne.
You want to do what?
I want to bring a male date to the senior prom.
And what makes you think you can do that?
Well, you see, sir, the rules say that any senior can take the date of his or her choice. Being a gay man, I think I'm entitled to take a male date.
Absolutely not.
Can I talk to the student council about it?
No, you can't talk to the student council. Now, look, I know what you're trying to do, and I won't allow it.
How come?
I don't have to defend my decisions to you, Aaron. We went through all this last year. Or have you forgotten what happened to your friend, Peter Grayson?
I haven't forgotten. But there's a difference. Peter was only 17 then, but I just turned 18. I could take this case to court if I wanted to.
You would go to court with this?
Yes, if I had to.
Well, my decision is final, Aaron. Nothing's going to change it.
Yeah? Well, we'll see about that. Hello?
Is, Aaron Frick there?
Speaking.
Aaron, this is John Ward, returning your call.
Oh, Mr. Ward. Hi. I got your name from the National Gay Task Force. They said you handle a lot of gay-related cases?
That's right.
Well, I'm gay, and I'm gonna need a lawyer soon. So let me tell you why I called.
So they'll take the case? You're really going to go through with it?
I really am.
Aaron, that's fantastic.
I just wish I could let the rest of the students know before it hits the front page. Ethel, I think I have an idea.
Aaron, what are you thinking?
There's Bea DeVolge. If I tell her, the whole school will know in about 30 seconds. They don't call her Magic Mouth for nothing. Hi, Bea. How's it going?
What's to you?
Bea, what would you say if I told you I'm going to the prom with Peter Grayson as my date?
Help me out to the max.
And I think it worked. Think they'll let him do it?
He's just trying to get publicity.
You gotta admit, he's got a lot of guts.
Yeah, he's crazy.
I'll bet Peter made him do it.
So he wants to bring a guy to the prom, so what?
This will ruin our reputation.
What reputation? Somebody says he's going to court.
Yeah, I hear he's got a lawyer and everything.
This place is turning into Gay Town USA.
I don't care what anybody says. It's okay by me.
You know what really gets me? Lynch didn't even ask us what we thought about it.
Hey, Frick better watch out. There's a lot of kids around here going to get pretty damn pissed at him.
I'm going to bash your faggot skull!
Oh, ow! Hey.
He's bleeding.
You just stood there and watched. You could have helped me. I'm going to the nurse.
After Aaron filed suit in this court, an event reported by the Rhode Island and Boston papers, a student punched and kicked him in the school hallway. The unprovoked, surprised assault necessitated 5 stitches under Aaron's right eye. The assailant was suspended for 9 days. After this, Aaron was given a special parking space close to the school doors and has been provided with an escort, principal or assistant principal, between classes. No further incidents have occurred as of May 26, the day that this hearing began.
Aaron, would you please tell us why you want to go to your senior prom with another man?
I feel I have the right to go, just like any other student. And I don't understand why I shouldn't be allowed to go with Peter.
Do you consider going to the prom to be a political statement?
Well, I think just by being there, I'm making a statement for human rights. I see it as a stand against the prejudice that Mr. Lynch is demonstrating, and some of the kids are following.
Has that prejudice made you uncomfortable in school?
Yes, it has. But I've managed to go about my daily routine, and I can't see why I should be separated from the other kids when it comes to the prom.
Have you ever been separated from the other kids at Cumberland High because you are gay?
No. I asked to be transferred out of gym class because some kids were picking on me, but Mr. Lynch wouldn't allow it.
Aaron, do you have any heterosexual friends at Cumberland High?
Yes. One of them is sitting in the courtroom right now.
And how do they feel about your decision to sue Mr. Lynch?
They have faith in me to make my own decisions. They're supporting me.
Are you involved with any in-school activities?
I'm in the drama club. I just received a thespian award for outstanding performance in the Thurber Carnival.
Have you met all the requirements for graduation?
Yes. I even passed PE this year.
School policy is that if a student meets all the requirements for graduation, he may purchase prom tickets. Is that right?
Yes. Plus, I sold my 10 senior raffle tickets already.
Thank you, Aaron. I have no further questions, Your Honor. Your witness.
Mr. Frick, will you tell the court what is the meaning of the word gay?
It's the physical and emotional love shared by two people of the same sex. Which is something I ought to know about, considering I've been gay since I was at least 5 years old.
Are you sure you're not bisexual?
I've never dated girls, if that's what you mean.
Well, how many dates have you had with men?
Objection.
Sustained. Counselor, Mr. Frick's private life is not at issue here.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, as a homosexual, do you really believe you'll enjoy yourself at a heterosexual prom?
I've seen straights have fun in gay bars. I don't know why I shouldn't have fun at a straight prom.
And you don't think your presence there will be disruptive?
No, sir.
Or that you and your escort might be physically harmed?
No, sir.
Are you planning to wear a corsage to the prom?
Am I what?
Objection. Counsel is attempting to intimidate the witness.
I would like to present this newspaper photograph of Peter Grayson wearing a corsage at a gay prom held for him in Boston.
Have it entered. It's Exhibit A.
Would you put your head on Peter's shoulder if you slow dance together?
Objection. Aaron cannot speculate on his future impulses.
Overruled.
I don't know. I just do what comes naturally.
I see. Aaron, you're wearing a bandage over your right eye. Will you please remove it?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained. The bandage is enough proof of physical harm to Aaron.
Precisely. Aaron has suffered physical harm because of his desire to attend the prom with a male date.
Objection. Aaron suffered this physical harm because he's gay. If Aaron had been afforded proper protection at school, he wouldn't have this scar.
Aaron, before your story hit the news, had you told all the students at Cumberland High that you were gay?
No.
Then why would they harass you?
I guess they needed a scapegoat. and I'm an easy target because in their opinion I'm obviously gay. They see me as some kind of threat. I'm hoping that if we go to the prom, they'll understand that I'm not. I mean, it will bother some of the kids to have us around, but that's because they've never seen a gay couple before. Having us there will probably widen their range of experience.
Widen their range of experience?
Well, I think if the other students see us at the Pleasant Valley Country Club, they'll say, wow, gay people really are human beings with constitutional rights.
This prom is to be held at the Pleasant Valley Country Club?
Yes, Your Honor.
I play golf there frequently.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's quite relaxing.
I can imagine that being a judge has its share of pressures.
That may be a gigantic understatement. Does the defense have any further questions?
No, Your Honor.
This court is recessed until 10:30 tomorrow morning. If anyone needs me, I can be found at the Pleasant Valley Country Club.
You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 Galveston. This is our season finale on Friday nights. We'll be moving to Saturday nights come next week. And unfortunately, Diane Rose was unable to join us today, so we are playing for you a production called Reflections of a Rock Lobster. And we continue with the play.
Dad, what are you doing here?
Don't look so surprised. I just thought I'd drop by and give you some moral support. We haven't talked very much since this thing started.
I know. Thanks for coming, Dad.
Well, it's the least I could do. Say, are you hungry?
Yeah, I'd love to get something.
Well, there's a place around the corner that's not too bad.
That sounds good to me.
You really handled those questions well.
I feel like I've been working on the answers for a long time. Like about 18 years.
I'm beginning to understand that now. Aaron, I don't know how to say this, but... Well, when I saw you on the stand today, I felt proud. I was proud that you had the courage to say the things you said. I only wish it hadn't taken me this long to find out how you really felt.
Tad, you can't blame yourself for that. I didn't want you to know. I was afraid of what would happen if you did find out.
Well, I'll say this much. I never thought I'd be sitting in a restaurant with a homosexual telling him I loved him.
I love you too, Dad.
Mr. Lynch, could you summarize your reasons for denying Aaron's request?
I'd be glad to. First of all, I was worried about Aaron's safety. Secondly, I was concerned about the negative effect this homosexual interaction would have on the prom.
If this court ordered you to protect Aaron Frick, wouldn't you provide that protection?
If I was ordered by the court, yes, I would. But I couldn't guarantee their safety.
Not even with adequate security?
I don't know how much is adequate. I'd have to look into that.
All right. Did Aaron tell you about the violence against him in gym class?
Yes, he told me.
And yet, in effect, you refused his request for a transfer.
Well,
were you therefore subjecting Aaron to the possibility of more violence?
No, not intentionally.
Mr. Lynch, you mentioned a negative effect on the prom. Could you be more specific?
Well, the presence of an openly homosexual couple might encourage the other students to misbehave. There could be excessive drinking, vandalism, and so on.
There could be, but you don't know for sure.
Well, I'm not 100% certain, no. But I saw what happened last year at the junior prom when Peter Grayson tried to attend with his male date. The students couldn't handle the pressure. They became unmanageable. One student jumped into the lake with his tuxedo on.
Wasn't that the older brother of the student who gave Aaron the welt under his eye?
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, it was.
Do you allow girls to dance together at the prom?
Yes, we allow girls to dance together. But that does not represent homosexual interaction. Hmm. Two boys dancing together does.
Well, that's interesting. I'm curious, Mr. Lynch, whether you have any homosexual acquaintances.
No, I do not.
Do you know anything about the homosexual lifestyle?
Enough to know that I disagree with it.
Would you say you strongly disagreed with it?
Yes, I'd say so.
Mr. Lynch, are there any homosexual teachers at Cumberland High?
No, there are not.
Oh? Aaron has received a letter from a substitute teacher at Cumberland High who's gay, and whose name, naturally, will be withheld. Mr. Lynch, I have here the Cumberland High School handbook. Would you please read the underlined passage for us?
Prejudice, as a byproduct of ignorance, is divisive and inimical to our nation's traditions.
Do you agree with that statement?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Mr. Lynch. I have no further questions, Your Honor.
So, we're really going through with this, huh?
Why? What's wrong?
I'm sick of it. That's what's wrong. There were reporters calling me every 10 minutes. And some guy threatened to kill me in front of my building. I was kind of hoping they'd call the whole dance off.
Peter, we're so close to winning. The prom is only a week away.
I know. But I guess I never thought it would get this far.
Maybe I never thought it would get this far either. But it has. I mean, every gay person in the country is watching what's happening here. I can't stop now. Listen, if you don't want to go, that's okay. I'll find somebody else to go with.
No, I don't want to disappoint you. There's just one thing.
What's that?
Do you think you could find two lavender tuxedos?
I'll see what I can do. Let's wait for the judge's decision. Who knows? We may end up having a prom all by ourselves.
After considerable thought and research, I have concluded that even a legitimate interest in school discipline does not outweigh a student's right to peacefully express his views in an appropriate time, place, and manner. To rule otherwise would completely subvert free speech in the schools by granting other students a heckler's veto, allowing them to decide through prohibited and violent methods what speech will be heard. The First Amendment does not tolerate mob rule by unruly schoolchildren. In conclusion, I find that the plaintiff has established a probability of success on the merits, and accordingly his request for a preliminary injunction has been granted.
Does that mean what I think it means?
It means that we've just won your case.
We won? We won!
Excuse me, I'm a reporter for the Herald American. I'm asking students what they think about this whole thing.
What whole thing?
You know, the senior prom tonight.
Oh, they make me sick. Homosexuals don't even belong on this earth, much less at our prom.
Really? Then you're against what's happening.
Against it? I'm ashamed to be a Cumberland student anymore. If homosexuals were water bugs, I'd stomp on them.
You're not Aaron Frick by any chance.
How did you ever guess?
Hey, Aaron, that was all right.
Keep going, Aaron.
Peter, I was getting worried.
The train was late. Aaron, you look fantastic.
Well, I should. After all, it's the night of my prom. Come on upstairs.
I've got a tuxedo.
Did you get the lavender ones?
Did you really think I was tacky enough to wear a lavender tuxedo?
Well, I am.
I got blue. This lovely dark navy one's yours. And an equally lovely powder blue mine. Cumberland High School colors. Blue and white. I thought it would be patriotic of us. Peter, you really look good. I'm glad you're here.
Well, I'm glad I'm here, too. And I think we're going to make a stunning couple.
What's that? Those are TV lights.
And look at all those people.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, a little.
So am I. But we made it this far. It ought to be easy from here.
Going to stay at the prom all night?
Are
you in Peter Grayson's office? Any chance this is happening next year? How do you feel about Bishop Delano's statement condemning all the good
That's what we're here for.
Not with them out there.
Remember that guy you mentioned to him? Bob Coat?
Mm-hmm.
Is that him over there with B?
Yeah, that's him.
He's kind of cute. Looks like they're arguing.
That's nothing new. They're always arguing.
Just sit here all night?
Leave me alone.
I will. I'm gonna dance.
We were at a party. Here's our fella today. Someone reached in and grabbed it. What a rock, lost a job.
Here comes your friend, Bob Coat. I can't believe it. What's to believe? Time, no C, right? Mind if I join in?
night under a dock, and there they saw a rock. It wasn't a rock.
Hey, Bob, you're pretty good.
Hey, Aaron, you're pretty good yourself.
Dear Peter, after the prom and everything, I thought you'd like to hear how graduation went. You know how they always wait until the end to call the names of the graduating seniors? Well, when they finally called my name, people started booing from the bleachers. My stomach tightened up. I knew it would be bad, but I didn't think it would be that bad. But then I heard a fainter sound, the sound of applause. It was coming from the senior class. They were cheering me. Love, Aaron.
Reflections of a Rock Lobster, starring Benjamin Kaiser as Aaron, Andrew Soller as Peter, Richard McElvain as Mr. Lynch, and Kenneth Dembski as John. Featuring Nora Sinclair as Billy's mother and the English teacher, William Cadmus as Judge Bettina, Virginia Mazur as Anne, Joseph Schramm as Bob Cook, Michelle Gabo as B. Duvalge, Bob Ozarek as Mr. Frick, Aaron's father, David Erskine as the gym teacher and the driver. David Strasburger as Jeff. Peter Haydu as John Ward. And Alan Zaremba as the defense attorney. Also appearing were Jim Cook, Jane Yalby, John Peppervore, Virginia Beach, Alex Barker, Tom Bigelow, Charles Forsythe, Tom Tenney, Julie Simon, Elizabeth Stearns, Sarah Steele. Written by Richard Sigelko. Based on the book and original material by Aaron Frick. Directed by Nicholas Deutsch. Produced by Wesley Horner. Melanie Berzon, recording engineer. David LaValle, production assistant and tape editor. John Bosie, location coordinator. Francis Schrand, talent coordinator. Special thanks to the Ideal Diner of Boston, the staff and students of the Cambridge School in Weston, especially William Sheldon and Robin Wood, and to Gary Busick, attorney. The program was recorded entirely on location in New England, mixed at Downtown Recorders, Boston, Tom Carr, engineer. Reflections of a Rock Lobster by Aaron Frick was used by permission of the publisher, Allison Publications, Incorporated. A cassette copy of this program, send $10 to Rock Lobster, Box 225, Boston, Massachusetts, 02215. That's Rock Lobster, Box 225, Boston, Massachusetts, 02215. And your letters and comments are welcome, of course. Be sure to mention the call letters of your local station. Production of this program was made possible by a grant from the Satellite Program Development Fund, National Public Radio.
Why do you have this feeling, you and she? I do not believe it is born in you. I do not believe it.
It's not born in you. It happens after you're born. You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are six or seven or eight, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be carefully taught.
This is just the kind of ugliness I was running away from. This followed me all this way, all these years. Now, it has found me. I was cheated before, and I'm cheated again by a mean little world of mean little men. And the one chance for me is the life I know best, to be here on an island and to hell with the rest. I will cling to this island like a tree or a stone. I will cling to this island and be free.
Yes, sir. If I get out of this thing alive, I'm not going back there. I'm coming here. All I care about is here.
When all you care about is here, this is a good place to be. When all you care about is taken away from you, there's no place. I came so close. So close.
I'll pull that here for a little bit.
Okay. Okay, that was...
I'm going to go on back here. All
right. Ooh, that was You've Got to Be Carefully Taught. A very appropriate song after Rock Lobster. That's from the newest soundtrack of South Pacific, starring... In fact, when I saw the cover, I just couldn't even bring myself to play it. Starring Reba McEntire, Brian Stokes Mitchell, and Alec Baldwin. I guess Alec Baldwin plays Emil. And Brian Stokes Mitchell evidently is the one who sang this song. You've got to be carefully taught. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on good old listener-sponsored Pacifica Station, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, and KPFT Galveston at 89.5 FM. I'm Jimmy Carper. Chris Harrison is here. And we're probably going to start the roundtable or maybe some music or whatever Chris wants to do, because he's the one in the engineer seat tonight.
Well, we just got a request in for...
Proud Marys?
Yeah.
I think on the first Kinsey Six CD. I hope we have it.
It's hard to say. Things got a little mixed up.
Yeah, I know. Anyway,
all right. Well, I'll just put in something else for the time being, and then we'll get to that. We'll find it here.
We'll find it and get that on. And if not, we'll get it on next week, Saturday night, because this is our last Friday night on the air. Starting next week, we are on Saturday night, same time, 1 to 4 a.m., late Saturday night, early Sunday morning.
Ah, found it.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
Took a second there. It's the Kinsey Six.
S-I-C-K-S, which is a kind of barbershop quartet, a cappella, drag queens.
What a combination.
I know. They played in Houston a couple of years ago and really wowed the audience. They are incredible voices, and they do wonderful parodies.
Yeah, a lot of theirs is that. You can go to Kinsey Six, KinseySix.com,
mm-hmm.
and find out more about them. So let's go to a little music and regroup.
Okay.
Do do. Do ma do 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 ma do 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 ma do 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 ma do 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 ma do 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 ma do do. Lost a good job in the city, 'cause I was looking for a man every night and day, and I never got a minute of sleep, 'cause I was cruising the piers by every river and bay. Big queens keep on turning, proud Marys keep on trolling on the river,
trolling on the river.
I said trolling on the river,
trolling on the river.
A one, a two, a one, two, three, four. Hey, Marines were easy bait in Memphis, pumped a lot of priests in New Orleans. They got every tie that cruising by the river, hustlers and choir boys and leather queens. Big queens keep on turning, plow Marys keep on burning, trolling on the river. I said trolling on the river. If you go down at the river, you could do a neighbor or a relative. You don't have to worry if you lose your hand, because the people on the river are happy to give. Big queens keep on turning, and down there is keep on churning. Trolling on the river.
Mama got a note here from the Oakland, Texas PTA. Well, the note said, Mrs. Sister, you're wearing your dresses way too high. It reported you've been drinking and are running around with bags and going wild. And we don't believe you ought to be bringing up your little queen this way. Was signed by the secretary.
Yes, my name is Donna Dye.
Well, the PTA was gonna meet, oh yes it did, that very afternoon. And they were sure surprised when Donna didn't wear her teeth into the room. And as she walked up to the blackboard, I can still recall the words she had to say.
Request this meeting of the Oakland, Texas PTA.
Well, there's Bobby Taylor sitting there, and seven times he asked her for a day.
I ain't going.
And Mrs. Taylor sure seems to use a lot of ice whenever he's away.
I think she's a drunk lesbian.
And Mr. Baker, could you tell us why your secretary had to leave this town?
The bitch got knocked.
And shouldn't Donna Day be told to keep her pantyhose off or completely down? Well, Mr. Harper couldn't be here because he stayed too long on Cedar Springs again. And if you smell Donna's breath,
you'll find I had some quibbles once again.
And then you have the nerve to tell me you think that as a drag queen I'm not. Well, this is just a little pagan place, and you're all Dallas, Texas hypocrites. No, I wouldn't put you on because it really did. It happened just this way. The day my sister socked it to
the legendary Donna Day.
The day Donna socked.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
That's it, honey.
Is that it?
That's it. Mark Allen Smith from his CD called...
Who Does She Think He Is?
Yes.
Who Does He Think She Is?
Who Does He Think She Is, yes. And that was, of course, a parody.
Yeah, a couple of parodies there.
Yeah. And he was kind of poking fun at Donna Day. A legendary drag queen from Houston who ended up in Dallas and has now passed. But I would love to see Mark Allen Smith put on another CD, because every song on this one is a gem. And it's not all comedy. He does a couple of serious ones.
Yeah.
I mean, the funny thing is, if you go from him, his performance there of Harper Valley PTA, mm-hmm. and then go into Hello Dolly,
mm-hmm.
and then What a Wonderful World, you would have thought I had three different artists.
Exactly. And then he does His Eyes on the Sparrow, and it's just a magnificent version. Magnificent. And before that, we had, by request,
Kinsey Six, Proud Marys.
Yes, and they certainly are.
A little bit of twistedness.
We like that. We like
that.
Don't
go there.
And Robert is with us.
And
talk about twisted.
The rest of y'all, come on.
Who else is in there?
Ozzy's here.
Hey.
Alfonso. This here.
Ozzy and Alfonso.
And yeah, we're going to...
Two halves of the same coin.
Where's David?
David is outside polluting his lungs, probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know.
With if David, he can't it's be, hard to say.
Yeah, I know. If he can't be engineer, he doesn't want to do anything.
No, he likes being on top.
I don't think so.
I didn't say he wasn't riding.
Oh.
That's him. That lump hasn't moved yet, so.
Yeah, that's him. That's him at the picnic table out there.
Well, you know what they say about a bump on a log.
Yes, we're watching him on KPFT cam.
Yeah, unfortunately, that doesn't make it to the internet.
No, thank God.
Yeah, well, he can either get his ass up and do something, or he can find some other way to get into the damn show next time he wants to come in. Damn, if I'm going to drive down to Pasadena to pick his ass up for $3 a gallon of gas.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That big Ford drinks a lot of gas, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Ow.
Especially now that what my job is driving around writing down gas prices.
Whoa.
Whoops.
Gosh.
So you know where
how does that work?
You know where the cheap gas is.
$2.72 a gallon was the cheapest on my route.
$2.72?
Yep.
God, it's
didn't
gone
it go up,
up since
like 20 cents?
It has. It's just incredible, the prices there. I've only got one gas station that has two other grades of gas that are $3.
Ooh.
Where's that?
It's up at the airport.
Okay.
Yeah. Better than me.
So they don't help you? They don't chip in for like...
I can write it off on my taxes as a business expense.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So,
well, that's a perk.
Well, like I said, the part is that I can, you know, I get to see where the cheapest prices are, and, you know,
you're acting as an independent contractor.
Yeah. So basically, you know, the best advice there, if you're looking to get gas, when's the best time to get it? Yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just doesn't matter what day it is. Just yesterday was a good day to get your gas.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you wanted me to get the car back.
Yeah, no, it's gotten crazy. I sat there and watched one place jump up 15 cents and overnight.
Oh,
no, you misunderstood him. He wanted you to get in the back of the car.
So
it always works out one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Sure does. We're going to talk a little bit about the internet.
Ooh, the internet. I love the internet.
Oh,
Jesus. Wow.
That wonderful thing that lets me spend money?
Well, you know, I've gotten hooked on it because with where I've moved now, I have... high-speed internet access.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You have no idea how much time we spend on the internet.
It drives me crazy.
Internet.
But yeah, I mean,
more than all day.
You can live your life on it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If you call it a life.
About 9 or 10 days ago, I got on the internet and got in touch with Roadrunner via my dial-up account and mm-hmm. asked them to schedule an appointment for me to finally get Roadrunner in. Well, I got a call day before yesterday. They said, we can schedule your appointment for Wednesday of next week. Well, I start a new job on Monday. And I called them. I said, I'm sorry, Wednesday doesn't work for me. Do you have anything on Saturday? They said, yeah, the following Saturday we can do this. Sometime between 8 and 10 a.m.
Ooh.
And I'm going,
Ooh.
Yeah, if you see them there before 2, it'll be a miracle.
They'll show up. They showed up for ours. Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah. The only hard part about it is...
The guy looked like he'd been up for a couple of days, though.
The only bad thing about it is when something goes wrong, they don't want to show up.
Uh-huh. You pitched in free cable for, like, a cigarette.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
let me know who that installer was.
Yeah.
you know, big talk's been about MySpace, and
I have not been to MySpace.
It's all the rage now. It's like the MySpace generation.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like kids my age, like 20, and so.
Well, no wonder I haven't been there.
Yes. Well, mostly high school kids.
There's a new MySpace internet site out there.
Don't you get into trouble going on to MySpace because there's a possibility that the person you're talking to is under the age of 18?
Well. I mean,
yeah, it's on the news every now and then.
All right, Tom.
There's a lot of
don't get excited. He goes on. He's on everybody's. He's a techie there.
There's a lot of high school kids,
not on my list,
teenagers and stuff that get on MySpace because it gives them somewhere where they can go and be able to talk about whatever they want to. That little
and add random people they don't know,
stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, I mean that, and that, you know. The big thing nowadays is everyone's talking about how, you know, these predators are finding the kids.
Oh, no.
But then again, predators were always out there. You could go onto Yahoo and run into a predator. I mean, you know.
Yeah, we're
even without the internet, the predators are out there.
Exactly. You know?
I mean, my God, the Catholic Church's been around for 2,000 years.
Ooh! Happy Easter to you.
You're going to hell.
Now, what was that about me outside MySpace. My lungs?
Why don't you get on a real microphone if you're going to be in here instead of leaning over him?
Because I like leaning over him. And annoying you.
Yeah, I think he likes getting leaned over.
But kind of jumping into this age, if you're out on MySpace, you can sign up as one of your friends this radio show.
Oh.
I created it earlier today, just to see what it's all about.
KPFT.org?
It's
free picks?
No, after hours.
MySpace.com/afterhoursKPFT.
Oh, okay.
And we're on there now. What we're going to start doing is putting up some of the playlists there. You can find the artist out, you know, put that in the blog section so you know what all it is.
Oh, good.
How about picks? Free picks?
Excellent. We'll start putting up some picks there of the people here on the show.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like an easy way of putting some stuff up there. And
added.
And that part, like I said, it's only been up for 4 hours.
And a way for people to get in touch with our artists that we play.
Yeah. And connect in. Yeah. There's a way of connecting in there. We'll make sure we link over and get friends with Queer Music Heritage that's all in there, and start linking up with some of the queer artists and really start showing this up here. So if you're looking to find us, you know, like I said, it's After Hours KPFT, all one word, or just do a search of 18-year-olds in Houston.
Right. Wait a minute. There are such a thing?
The show is 18 and a half years old, correct?
Yes.
So I put in September 20th, 1980.
It's actually September 6th, 1987.
Wow. Look at it this way. I knew it was September in the year. Okay. I don't know my niece's year.
Chris, do I
yelled at for that.
Do I understand this correctly? You were playing conservatively?
What? No, I just didn't remember when it was. I just remembered it was in September, and I counted back the year. So we're going to start putting some more stuff up on that. Like I said, it's up right now. That we can link on there, because yeah, I've just been curious about that because of the MySpace, because you hear all this talk about it, and I went cruising through it.
Yeah,
a couple weeks ago, I spent 45 minutes going through profiles, and you know, I can't find these the poor gay kids up in the part of town where I live. They're supposedly being attacked because I went through almost 100 ads and I found one gay kid.
No,
and I know I'm not that suburban. But, you know, it's weird seeing what all these people are going to put on their website. And, you know, you just kind of, I mean, one thing I thought with MySpace is have some sort of control on it. I know I'm with another one that's similar to this called High Five.
Mm-hmm.
And you can designate it that the only people who can look at your, you can set it up so that only people who ask to be your friend can be on your can see your profile.
Yeah.
And apparently I haven't come across that feature here if they have it in MySpace.
Oh.
Which if they didn't, stupid. And if they do, you know, which I think they did because I got locked out of somebody's.
Oh.
When I click on it. But it's like, you know, it's a simple way of someone being smart enough to say, hey, you know, only people who are my friends can look at my stuff and block it. But
If you don't have the cookie already on the machine, you're not going
to
get it.
Well, no, it's what you what it is you have your website, and then you have your friends who link to it and are connected.
Okay.
So, yeah. Like, on here, there's one person that his clicks up apparently automatically. He's like a techie or something.
Tom.
Some 30-year-old guy from Santa Monica, California. Ooh, he's got videos. I'm already logged in. Oh, no, I'm not logged in.
Any pictures?
I gotta log in. That's the one thing you gotta do.
Just to do anything.
But, you know, I mean, so his stuff comes up here automatically, and there's other people that you can connect into, but...
It's kind of like Yahoo's Out Personals.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's... let's see, is this come down here where it's... he's single. It doesn't say if he's straight or not. He didn't click that thing. I didn't click one because your choice is either bisexual, gay, straight, no answer, or don't want to answer.
Oh.
And like, his response is, I don't want to answer?
I guess, yeah, because this isn't showing up. He doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink. But, you know, that's the sort of thing that... What the hell is...
Is he playing with a certain piece of anatomy?
No. There was one person's icon. Looks like one of those Croft puppet characters from the 80s, from the 70s.
Oh.
HR puffin stuff?
No, this is more looks more like Land of the Lost.
Oh.
But so we were out there on MySpace. Like I said, it's myspace.com/afterhourskpft. And we'll do with that.
He's using that puppet as his avatar?
Yeah. Someone else was.
Okay.
Someone linked off it. So, I'm going to, you know, this time I'll have some chance. I'll search through and see about, you know, what is actually about MySpace. And maybe we can get some people to send in some stories through there, if you know their experiences on MySpace. And, you know, is it this predatory field that, you know, all the stations are kind of attacking? Check one.
Or maybe have a guest on the show?
Yeah. One thing I'm trying to figure out is, I think I saw something that, I don't know where I heard it from, but I thought MySpace was owned by...
News Corporation.
Yeah, that's why. Is it?
Is it? It is.
Okay. So it's Fox News owns them.
No, no.
Oh, really? Yes, yes.
Oh, damn.
That's almost as bad as CC.
Of all people.
Wow. But, you know, that's the funny thing is that they...
They're imbalanced.
Oh, yeah.
But no, that's the funny thing that, you know, I've seen a lot of reports on Fox News about, you know, the evils of MySpace.com.
Yeah, you wondered where they were getting their leads.
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of these... Huh? Content.
Content.
Yeah.
Then again, so they think...
Quite a variety of content.
That's
on
don't worry about it. It's,
yeah.
I clicked on that. It just goes back to the homepage.
Brings a whole new meaning to being collared.
Yeah.
Ah, be careful with that word. That's,
yeah, spring iniquity is going on right now.
No. There's another link about that.
Collars?
Okay, let's jump into that. Let's jump into this little website called Collar... let me scroll down to it here.
What?
About a story from a collarme.com.
Collarme?
What is that?
Well, what it is, here's the whole story from Court TV. In Waynesville, a small county seat in the mountains of western North Carolina, people whispered about the three older men who lived together south of town. They were lovers, and there were rumors that the trios had turned a room in their house into a dungeon, where they filmed sadomasochistic sex scenes and then posted them on the internet.
Huh.
Someone asked the local sheriff to investigate these men, but his officers determined their activities, although unorthodox, were perfectly legal. Last month, however, the men were arrested on charges that shocked the community.
What?
Whizzing on the sidewalk?
Ooh. On each other? Authorities say they performed castrations and other types of genital surgeries on at least 6 people.
Oh, my God.
Are you serious?
Detectives searching the home found bloody scalpels, syringes, prosthetic testicles in the room the men referred to as the dungeon.
Oh.
Officers confiscated a video camera used to record the procedures, as well as scores of CDs and computer files.
Ooh, man.
They also seized a Tupperware container from the kitchen freezer.
I don't want to know.
Holding what appeared to be human testicles.
I see.
And no frostbite.
This website is collarme.com.
Collarme.com. Now, the suspects acknowledged performing the surgeries, but told investigators the procedures were completely consensual. And the men who requested the operations traveled long distances for the procedures.
Yeah, but they're not doctors.
Well, here's the funny thing. What they're arrested on is 5 counts of felony castration.
Ooh.
5 counts of conspiracy, as well as 8 counts of practicing medicine without a license.
Uh-huh.
Now, the castration law actually goes back to colonial times.
You're kidding.
No.
How does it read?
It, yeah. Ye shall not remove the balls of another man.
Leave them boys alone.
I don't know.
I'm wondering if maybe it could be brought to bear, you know, simply because somebody took his bull out and did the same thing.
I don't know, but North Carolina...
I was just going to ask if you want to castrate your bull... Do you have to have a vet do it?
I have no clue. No. All I just know is it's a
medieval... Can't you just go right at it and not have to worry about it?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Now, the one guy worked 2 decades in a veterans hospital, but he was not licensed. And the other man had no medical training.
Ooh.
Now, what it is they reported that the guy identified himself, the ringleader, referred to him as Master Rick, on an S&M website, collarme.com. In an online profile published in the newspaper, the guy had a photo of himself in leather chaps and wrote that he and his 2 slaves, Danny and Bob, were searching for more.
Hmm.
This is not a game with me. I live this lifestyle. One of the guys was featured in leather shorts in a profile for Dungeon Slave Dan. So here's these 3 guys in North Carolina who... very strangely got arrested for performing this surgical procedure on these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because they found them on the internet and they're saying, you know, these guys agreed to do it.
Yes, but it is a surgical procedure.
True. But, I mean, you know.
I mean, if you don't know what you're doing, you can kill somebody.
Yeah. And some people have, you know, from castration there, you know, if you don't tie everything up neatly and all that, you know, there could be...
Bleed to death.
You could bleed to death.
Or get an infection, at the very least.
All that much more so,
so many possibilities of what could have happened.
Oh.
If, you know, they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
I mean, these were... You know, these are 3 older gentlemen. Master Rick is 61, and the slaves are 60 and 49.
Yeah. Well, I have heard of that kind of fetish of being castrated.
I want to know whether or not...
Just leave the Pinocchio alone, man.
Wonder whether or not the slaves were still intact.
Hmm.
Yeah, were they?
It doesn't say.
Did they live?
Yeah, everyone lived from this.
Okay.
You know, it's... The thing I'm trying to figure out... You know,
the reason they're not facing murder charges.
Yeah.
But here's the one question about this is... you know, from what I can read from this, is basically, you know, these neighbors said, you know, we just don't like we don't like something's going on there, which is all they thought was this S&M relationship.
Mm-hmm. They didn't know about the castration.
So what was the police doing investigating this?
Yeah.
If there was no criminal complaint filed by the quote-unquote victims...
Suspicious activity.
It was in the privacy of their own home.
Probable cause. There had to been some kind of probable cause in order to get a search
warrant
to go in.
So, I mean, that's the question.
It's a small town in North Carolina. They do what they want.
Yeah, but, you know, the stuff like that should be thrown out. But where in the world did it come to this of, you know, of how the police were able to go in and investigate this? Did these guys say, yeah, sure, come on, take a look around? Not realizing what they were doing was considered illegal, but...
On the internet, some brilliant police officer decided to type in the names of the people he was wanting to look at, and he found something that was lewd and obsequious, then that might have given him enough firepower underneath something like the Patriot Act to get a warrant to go in and take a look.
Yeah, but see, they don't say anything about, they talked about castration on his profile, which is what they've had to go. It would have been something they talked about later.
Mm.
You know, I'm fully versed in all aspects of the BDSM lifestyle, as well as being in wrestling and boxing.
Okay.
Is what the one guy said there. But, you know, I mean...
But if they found something in somebody else's blog...
Now, I'm saying that in a small town in North Carolina, as well as in a small town in Texas, you say BDSM, and that's enough to get a warrant. Because so many people think BDSM is beating somebody up.
Which it isn't.
Who doesn't want to get beat up?
Mm-hmm.
But... You know, they don't understand the concept of BDSM.
That it's a consensual thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That somebody has to agree to it and that there are safety measures built in.
That's why in the straight community, if they're into BDSM, it is really, really, they're on the DL with it because they're afraid... Married people are afraid that their children will be taken away from them if it's found out that they're into BDSM.
Because they haven't even talked to the quote-unquote victims in this. The prosecutor hasn't talked to any of the victims.
So they just went through it without, you know,
witnesses.
And, you know, asking them, like, interviewing them about what happened.
Yeah, no. I mean, the one guy said, you know, yeah, we did it. But, you know, they haven't talked to the guys who were the victims in this. You know, it's in a way, it's similar to that case over in Germany where the guy was a cannibal and asked for, you know,
volunteers.
Had a volunteer, and somebody said, yeah, sure. Yeah, kill me, eat me. And
I'll be your dinner.
He,
literally.
I don't think he was, I know he was convicted of something, but it wasn't for murder.
Wow.
I think what it was charged with was cannibalism, not murder, because, you know, the guy consented to be killed. So, you know, I guess they have assisted suicide, or they have an understanding of euthanasia there.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, Germany...
Yeah.
I know that Germany and Switzerland both have laws which enable you to go through medically assisted suicide.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah.
The Kevorkian law, right?
No, they don't have that over there.
But I was interested in a little thing, and I actually pulled that off of, I believe, Drudge Report.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an interesting little thing, you know. But like I said, something that just kind of strikes me right now is, you know, what was their way of getting their foot in the door to go in there?
Yeah, and even if they did go in under the Patriot Act, what would they declare? How would someone's testicles be a matter of national security? I mean,
well, I don't think that they didn't know about that. They just heard BDSM and they're tearing down the door.
Oh, I mean, I just don't understand it. How can someone's sexual habits affect national security?
No, they heard BDSM. They determined that BDSM must not be something that was, you know, illegal.
Right.
Because if further up in the story, it already says that the local police had already cleared them of any wrongdoing as far as their bondage and discipline was going. But they found something else later on down the line that led them to believe they needed to go in and look at these people, because they went in, they did a search, they arrested people because of what they found inside the dungeon. In this case, large amounts of blood and dirty surgical utensils. Oof. And testicles that were still in the freezer.
Saving them for later?
Well, you know, right. Mountain oysters are considered a delicacy someplace.
Well, yeah.
These are Appalachian.
Appalachians. Yes, yeah. Not human ones.
Does it say that they just went in there and started searching for stuff?
It didn't say what the reasoning was. But
or was it more like that they could have
like
went in there?
Happened.
Yeah, they could have went in there and just were looking around, not for anything specifically, mm-hmm. And then they looked to the right and were like, oh, crap, there's a bloody surgical tool over there. I mean, what are you guys been doing besides, you know, beating people?
Yeah, well, even then, you know.
And I could have simply showed up at the house and just said, you know, so-and-so said y'all are doing something wrong. You know, we don't mind if we look around. And they said, oh, sure, come on in. And oops.
Yeah.
I have to clean up the dungeon before.
There's just a lot of questions there.
Yeah, but I mean, this was something that was, you know, started on the internet. So, you know, Yeah. It's just, you know, it's a weird
thing. What I honestly want to know is, why were they keeping balls in the freezer? I mean, there's some, if one of them wasn't seriously off his rocker.
Well,
it could have been, you know, a souvenir or a trophy.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been, you know, it could have come down to cannibalism. I know in some cultures there, you know, the testicles is where a man's power is, mm-hmm. comes from.
Yeah.
And so you would consider getting strength from that, you mm-hmm. know. I mean, the fact that that's what they cut off and they may have consumed or done something with that. You know, Jeffrey Dahmer had several parts of a person in various freezer compartments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Now, what kind of meat do you use for your meatballs?
Ground beef for me. I use ground beef.
I don't know. I buy them already made.
Spaghetti
I don't
sauce.
Know what's in them.
Just go to Switzerland and get you some Swedish meatballs.
There you go.
So.
You are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on listener-sponsored Pacifica Station, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, and KPFT Galveston at 89.5 FM.
Okay, why don't we take a little
Yes, music, let's do that.
Take a little music regroup here. Then what we're going to do is we're going to talk, the next part with our discussion on the internet, is we're going to talk about Justin Barry.
Who's he?
He is the talk of the town. He is the 19-year-old who testified before Congress, and more importantly, testified before Oprah last month, about his 6-year reign as a internet porn star.
Oh, that guy.
Yes. So we're going to be talking a little about that. Him.
Okay.
And, you know, more about, a little bit more with the internet and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this Wikipedia's got a picture of him, which I think is one of his younger pictures. He is fully dressed in this one.
Yes.
So, this is After Hours, and we'll be back in...
You don't have anything in there.
Yes, I do.
Oh.
Well, it's...
It says sleep.
About 2 minutes.
Push the button.
Time we
means I'll be looking for another boy. All work and no joy means I'll be going down on a different boy. Reciprocate, reciprocate. Unless you'd rather go home and masturbate. Reciprocate, reciprocate. At the dinner table, you were vegetarian, but you smiled and said that you became a carnivore in bed. But the evidence I've seen does nothing to support that claim. All the effort's so one-sided, and that's totally lame. 'Cause if you wanna be serviced with a smile, gotta reciprocate more than every once in a while. 'Cause all work and no joy means I'll be looking for another boy. All work and no joy means I'll be chowing down on a different boy. Reciprocate, reciprocate. Unless you'd rather go home and masturbate. Reciprocate, reciprocate.
No.
Quick little double shot of Pansy Division there.
Yeah.
No protection and reciprocate.
Mm-hmm.
And before that was Kevin Cahoon with Could I Have This Dance?
Aww.
So, I'd figure play something besides Doll on there.
Yeah, good idea.
For a change. Now we're going to talk about Justin Berry.
Oh, Justin. Justin.
poor, poor Justin.
Oh, no.
Now, is this the guy who said his father got him into it or
no,
something?
No, no, no. This came later.
Oh, okay.
Justin is this poor child who parents separated and found happiness through a webcam.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when he was 13, he got a webcam and set it up. And I guess he was in some of the Yahoo chat rooms. Mm-hmm. And some guy offered him, after a couple of weeks there, he just sat there in his clothing, blah, blah, blah. And after a couple of weeks, some guy contacted him and offered him $50 to take off his shirt. He's like, oh, I take my shirt off at the pool for nothing, so what's the difference? So this guy set him up a PayPal account, told him how to do it, and sent him the money, and he sat there and took off his shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then it progressed from there. Depending on the viewers, you know, he did full nudity, he did masturbation, he had sex with female prostitutes,
mm-hmm.
And did all this stuff. Started his own websites, created his own accounts. You know, he had a friend, an adult ran the one website for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the subscribers bought him faster equipment, better cameras, and all this stuff. And then eventually he started going and meeting up with some of these guys.
Oh.
You know, to do this stuff. Someone paid for an apartment down the street so, you know, he doesn't have to worry about mom walking in on him. And so people paid money to watch this 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old having sex with, you know, himself or prostitutes and all this other stuff. They paid, you know, $35 a month, mm-hmm. and memberships and this. And now what's happened is a reporter from the from the New York Times contacted him to talk about his experience.
Yeah.
So now he's gone and turned over all of his records, names, addresses, credit card numbers.
Oh my God.
Gave to the Justice Department.
Mm-hmm.
And coincidentally, he's writing a book.
What do you know?
Miracle of all miracles?
So, of course, he gets on Oprah, and he's, I'm the victim. I was molested.
Oh, please.
Now he's testified last week before Congress. And, you know, he's 19, and he could pass for 16 right now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's all this stuff of watching him going, you know, I'm a victim. I was molested. You, and it's like, I'm sorry, my opinion is,
trying to keep his backside out of prison.
You know,
yeah.
You weren't molested. You're a whore.
There you go.
Okay.
Best way to put it.
You were a whore, and here's the good part about it. Because most of the stuff you did was on the internet, at least the only virus you had to worry about getting was a Trojan horse.
Mm.
Yeah.
You okay? So, you know, this kid has some culpability in this. Mama has some culpability in this for letting him spend all this time down in some other apartment, you know, spanking off on a camera.
Someone's passing the buck.
And she's not paying attention, you know. He's using, he was using drugs, you know. Now, father was down in Mexico. So, when he, Now that was recently, but I know he gave up. He started backing out of that a year and a half ago. He got immunity from prosecution of the felonies. Oh, so he's not even going to get prosecuted for being a whore for child pornography on the internet. Okay, here on the Oprah Winfrey Show, they call it Young Boy Lured into Becoming an Internet Porn Star.
Oh, brother.
Lured.
Sounds like he was less corrupted by all the people on the Internet than he would have been by his own peers in terms of what, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds get up to these days in terms of their partying.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, and like you said, less exposure to virus and stuff. So I'm not, you know, I mean...
Well, I don't know. You said that he was having sex with prostitutes.
Oh, yeah, that came along eventually. And it was female prostitutes.
He never had sex with another male?
I never could... Now, okay.
Surely they would have put that in bold letters.
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, he had sex with men. You know, one of the guys promised him thousands of dollars, you know, come to Las Vegas, you know. But, you know, first of all, if your mother is going to let you go at, you know, 15, 16 years old, hi, I'm going off to Las Vegas for the weekend.
Okie dokie.
Where the hell's the mother?
Inside a bottle somewhere or what?
You know, the father was in Mexico, which once Justin turned 18, he decided to go down to Mexico. He wanted to get away from this lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's the story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while he was down in Mexico, he and his father started a company called MexicoFriends.com. Which did the same sort of stuff, except now he's 18.
And his dad's in on this?
His dad was in on it. You know, his dad, it says quite openly, he opened up, you know, they started this stuff.
Yeah.
Now.
That's kind of askew.
Yeah. So, hey, for the amount of money he was making off of this stuff.
How much money was he making?
He earned hundreds of thousands of dollars doing this stuff.
Mm.
You know, $45 a month for membership.
30.
35 a month, you know, gave discounts there for multiple, you go for multiple months and all that.
Practically hundreds and hundreds of people watching them, so.
So you've got that, you've got the videos you can download, and, you know, like a good drug dealer, he did give away free tastes.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he set up MexicoFriends.com, he set up a Yahoo group for Mexico Friends.
Oh.
Okay.
In which, you know, there were some still pictures, and there was a picture of him with some of his friends, and some little video clips of you where you really couldn't see anything. Now, I can tell you that because I was a member of the Mexico Friends Yahoo group.
Oh.
Which was after he turned 18.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So, the fact is that, you know, this guy was active in this. This is not, you know...
He wasn't forced.
He wasn't forced. He wasn't coerced.
It's not like somebody did this without his consent.
So he willingly walked into this.
Yeah, I mean, at any point in time, he could have pulled the plug and said, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore, canceled his screen names, did all this stuff.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And so now all this talk is... Alex pulled up here a video interview he did with a guy from the New York Times, and they're showing some of the pictures of when he was on camp.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if this was, you know, 18, 19, the kid still has a very young look to it.
But I think there's something, too, to, like, where was the supervision? I mean, I actually don't think that a 13-year-old is... You know, firing on all pistons when it comes to decision making. So the whole idea that all the decisions were made up to him,
yeah.
I think there probably was some coercion. He probably was slowly talked into things. I'm not saying that it's necessarily bad, but, you know, it takes a whole bunch to tango in this situation, not just two. But the first place is, where is his supervision?
Yeah.
Where is somebody giving him some kind of guidance about what kind of decisions he's making? Because I don't necessarily think it's the best thing to do for a 13, 14, 15-year-old to be doing prostitution on the Internet. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that.
And he had to have noticed. I mean, you know, the boy's starting to show up with new things, and she ain't buying them for him. Where is he getting the money?
Yeah.
Or who's buying them for him?
Yeah, I mean, and the stuff of, even if he's going elsewhere to do this stuff, you know, he's supposed to be on marijuana and cocaine. And, you know, this is the part what I get with, you know, some of the stuff of what I'm, of what I'm seeing, you know, with this stuff with MySpace, you know, with stuff like this, it's like, you know, the kids part in here are just considered automatically a victim. in this part.
Yeah.
And this kid has some culpability.
Of course he does.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
And of course he gets a free pass. And now the reason why he's getting all upset is he went to testify before Congress is he handed in, you know, a couple thousand names to the Justice Department, and they've only looked into one of those cases.
One?
Yeah. So, I mean, the fact is, you know, I mean, it just kind of boggles me that we've got this situation here. We talk about the evils of the internet on here.
Well,
and
it harkens back to McCarthy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, in terms of the guy with the pumpkin with the microfilm and the thing, and the big bugaboo in a lot of the McCarthy stuff was homosexuality.
Oh, yeah.
And it was all about sex, was how they manipulated people and scared people into sort of.
Yeah, you're either the communist or you're a homosexual, and those were the two worst things in the world to be in the 50s.
But sexual blackmail. Yeah. It was big McCarthy too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, especially now I'm depending on where these records are from. If this is from his before Mexico days, where yeah, he was underage.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it just, you know, like I said, I was watching that thing and I didn't realize that I had seen this kid until I did a search on the internet to see, you know, the information, and his Wikipedia profile lists the Mexico Friends. And I go, whoa, I remember that group, and I remember the fact that there was a point in time where he said, you know, one of his friends, it looked like, was taking it over, saying, you know, Justin's getting out of the business. He doesn't want to be in this anymore. And that, and then, you know, the site closed. The Yahoo group closed then.
Oh.
Hmm. But, you know, it's just, you know, you see these sort of things, and you see a lot of it happening lately. The internet really seems to be under attack. And you get people who are going, you know, we've got Justin Berry now. He's going to be our poster child for this. You've got MySpace, you know.
Evil MySpace.
Yeah, last year KPRC here in Houston, the television station, was able to knock out all of the member-created Yahoo chat rooms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, they found that men were in there stalking little girls. It's like, so instead of canceling the Yahoo groups, you know, daddy spanking his 6-year-old daughter, they canceled everything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you can't have any of that.
But that's the McCarthy aspect of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's covering your ass.
Fair for one, it's fair for all.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of these things I'm seeing that, you know, it seems to be getting more and more. I mean, MySpace.com is just getting slammed almost every night.
But it does seem to be surviving quite well, though.
Yeah.
Especially for something that's free. You know, now they're putting in some safeguards. You're going to have people looking at this stuff. They put a little banner at the top now saying, you know, 1 in 10 children on the internet are going to be victimized or some stat they came up with.
I don't think that's necessary. I don't think that that's necessarily a bad idea to sort of really, you know, have sort of some thing, you know, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just completely turn a blind eye to whatever pedophilia does happen, but the whole idea of then using it as a tool to shut down things that are no one's getting harmed.
Yeah, I mean,
doesn't make sense. So, but you can't just turn a blind eye and condone pedophilia either.
Yeah, but you know, it's.
I mean, where it's really coercion and victimization.
Yeah, but some of the stuff you're looking at is, you know, using a sledgehammer to kill a fly.
Agreed.
And, you know, unfortunate, and then, you know, but then they come up with all these things all the time, and they're showing these, you know.
Yes, hysteria, creating hysteria.
And, you know, part of me, you know, is kind of wondering from the fact of, I'm trying to remember it was on the Colbert Report. He was talking about, last night, he said, you know, this kind of, that, you know, gay issues, you know, gay marriage, gay adoption, gay rights, only is important in even-numbered years. and how odd is that?
I mean,
I'm wondering how much of this is driven by the fact
of... Absolutely.
Because, you know...
The wedge issues.
you know, of course we hear about Justin Berry, we're going to lean more to the fact, you know, it was these guys asking him to, you know, spank one off on camera. Come on, he's 13, 14 years old, he doesn't need an incentive there to go masturbate.
That's right.
But the fact he did it on cam. But, you know, how much of some of this stuff is driven, and the funny thing is the MySpace there, I haven't heard too many of the gay.
Well, how many years has the gay community been combating the whole mythology of homosexual equals pedophilia?
Oh, I know. Forever.
Forever. From day
the beginning
one
of time.
Gay liberation, that's been one of the main battle lines that's been fought over and over and over and over again, and probably will continue to be, because it's the easiest way to whip up hysteria in your average citizen.
Sure. I may be wrong. Does it seem to you that, when we hear these cases of even with, the kids and their teachers, or, somebody meeting them online and all that. Am I wrong in thinking that, that the kids have some sort of culpability?
Absolutely, because I've said this on the air many times. Between the ages of 13 and 16, but when I was underage,
mm-hmm.
I actively sought out older men to have sex with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was the one doing the flirting. I was the one being the aggressor. But if I had been busted, it would have been my partner who was really gotten into trouble. But I was the aggressor.
Because we hear all the stuff with the teachers,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't heard many of the teachers going, he was the one who forced himself on me.
But the whole thing of, like, if you had all of a sudden gotten an attack of conscience, or you had been busted and offered it a way out, or any number of things, you got religion, whatever, and all of a sudden you started saying, well, he did this and he did that, mm-hmm. and he did that, and all of a sudden you're rewriting the story. I mean, I think that's part of Justin Berry's thing of, like, okay, I am going to feel bad about this in retrospect.
I think rewrite
the story in terms of what actually happened.
I think it's part of the epidemic of this day and era of not taking responsibility for your own actions.
Yes, definitely. Yes. And but look at this way. I mean, like I said, he's planning on writing a book. So, of course he's going to hit he's going to get the circuit and speak ahead of time.
Of course.
Because it's in the media's attention.
Mm-hmm.
You link this stuff and, I don't know, I know they had someone from MySpace.
It's all about making money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One I mean, he's a hell of a great financier. At 13 years old, you realize that that's going to make you money.
And sounds like it runs in the family.
Evidently. With daddy going off and, helping him create that site.
And who knows that mom didn't help him.
Yeah. But, it's just...
Has she spoken out about it?
I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen any of the reports saying all that. Whenever you do a search of it, it's Justin Berry.
Mm-hmm.
You get all, it's like the same story just repeated over line, because everyone's like, oh my God, look at this. Here's the poster child. Let's take the, they might as well just put it out as a PDF file so everyone can just carry it over that way. It's just,
it's like no new news about the case.
No, he showed up before Congress and he told them, his story. So, for a whole day, CNN kept playing it. It's like,
and Oprah sort of, I've liked Oprah for many years, but she sort of appointed herself as the Pope of morality, of American morality now, and it's getting a little tired.
Well, no, she goes in and...
When she was browbeating that guy about his slightly fictional biography, it was a little overboard.
Well, part of that is because she promoted it so heavily.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's one of those things, she didn't have her people check the stuff. But, this is, it's an interesting...
But I think he should be at least somewhat responsible for what happened.
Yeah.
And, has there been anything about all the money that he gained from all of this? And
well, as part of the way it looks like what he did is there was the PayPal, so he used, the money for, marijuana and cocaine. But he also, there was actually a link from Wikipedia to his Amazon.com wish list. What? So rather than, you know,
actually it's, you sending know, him money, you just bought him whatever he wanted.
Yeah, you know, here's a camera for your next spankathon. Let's see what you got now. That sort of thing. And, you know, it's an amazing thing. It's one of the things about the internet. You know, it's a bridal registry for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, I mean, that's how I got to look at this stuff. Okay. You know. And so, but here's this kid who's going to get off scot-free. And here's all these guys who, you know, probably got him to where he is. You know. And they're the ones who finance all that coke up his nose and pot in his lungs and, you know, all the cams and the computers and all the other stuff. And he's not going to get punished at all for what he did.
No. As a matter of fact, they're going to reward him for rolling over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but then you also get, like, there was a story last week of a girl on MySpace.com who was underage, and she had, I don't know if it was nude or just provocative photos. They've arrested and charged her with child pornography. Pictures of herself that she took herself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, here's this guy who made hundreds of thousands of dollars spanking it on cam.
Double standards.
Yeah. And here's somebody on MySpace who takes a picture of themselves and puts it up there.
Well, and there's degrees of, you know, I mean, you're underage, spank her, slap her hand and say, don't put nasty pictures of yourself when you're underage on the webcam. I could see that, but like arresting her and charging her with child pornography.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a question of degree in terms of, you know,
she posted
the whole idea of I mean, there are some things you have to, like I said, there needs to be some regulation. But this whole thing of always having to go immediate to hysteria, immediately to overboard, immediately to overreaction, and wild disparity on who gets what. I mean, that's people don't seem to be able to remain reasonable about these things.
We do this so that we can get away from looking at why Dick Cheney shot that man.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah. There is that.
So, you know, you've got this, and then here's the next controversy part. It's not internet, but, you know, it's kind of this sexual predator innuendo. Show starting on Sunday on A&E. Called God or the Girl. It's a reality show that was put together that chronicles the journeys of four, it says young men, but they're 21 to 28, who are looking at becoming Roman Catholic priests.
Okay. And they're not calling it God or the Boy?
Well, you know, that's the thing is, you know. I mean, one of the guys, he has a girlfriend, and he really loves her, so he's going to have this crisis of, you know, this crisis of faith of whether or not he's going to
be celibate.
Yeah, because, mm-hmm. you know, that's the whole concept of it is.
Sure.
You know, you've, as a man, you've got this deep-seated
need,
yeah. desire in your fiber of being.
To copulate.
Yeah, I got to get some. And to become a Roman Catholic priest, you have to take a vow of celibacy and say, uh-uh.
I can never do that.
And it's like, you know, it's one of those things of, so they're going to see how well these guys can do. And let me tell you this much. These guys are pretty good looking, you know.
Well, they wouldn't be on TV if they were.
If he invited me to stay after in the Catholic changing room, I wouldn't turn it down. And, you know, I mean, one of the guys, it's going to be his third time of re-entering the seminary. He's kind of like, you know.
He's not going to pass.
He
can't get past the seminal vesicle.
You know, his thing is his parents want him to be. Priest, and he's just not too sure about it.
So why should he even try if he doesn't want to do it?
As now everybody runs in because I pulled up the website there.
Because they were raised Catholic.
Yeah.
I wasn't raised Catholic, but evidently being raised Catholic, you know, in a certain way really does sort of clamp your mind.
I mean, I was
in a pretty effective way.
I was raised strict Catholic, and I mean... Crap, I'm gay.
Yeah, well, I mean, so am I, but the fact is...
But do you have every aspect of your, all that sexual conditioning that you got as a Catholic worked out in fine detail?
No, I mean, I...
I'll be honest. It takes a long time.
I mean, you know, the only part of my Catholicism that I really hold on to right now is I can't handle going into another church and seeing a female preacher.
Hmm.
That's the only part of my Catholicism. I mean, today was Good Friday, and I had hamburgers, I had chicken, I had ham sandwiches. This is supposed to be a big day. I mean, Good Friday, it's the only holiday in the...
The last time I've ate
anything
fish
but fish.
Last time I ate fish on a Good Friday was back in high school before I
left. When you live with your parents.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, in my family, it was traditionally crab cakes on Good Friday. You know, that was the way I was brought up. One time I made crab cakes when I was in college here for Good Friday because I just thought I'd make crab cakes. But, you know, since then, you know, I'll be a bastard and I'll eat fish on a Wednesday. I mean, I'll eat fried fish whenever you want. Just don't tell me I have to.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing. But, you know, they've... but, you know, this is a story, and there were... One of the reporters made an interesting comment about it. He said, you know, they talked to the producers about this. And the producer said, you know, if we were Catholics making this story, they'd think, you know, we're going easy on them. And if we were evangelicals, they'll think, you know, it's a hatchet job.
But since we're going for pure sensationalism...
But they said, we're Jewish, so we're safe.
All we want is good, and we want sensationalism and good TV. That's all we care about.
Like, if it happens to line my pocket with silver and gold, who cares?
Yeah. Right. Here's your 20. Here's your 40 pieces. Okay, here's one kid.
Speaking of which, have you heard about that new Judas, the Gospel of Judas?
Yeah,
I heard it's actually a complete collusion.
The one that paints him into being a hero?
Like Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, I mean...
He was like the favorite of Jesus, and that's why he chose him to sacrifice.
He was in on the big story.
Well, you know, we'll find out next year how many people actually buy that when we see Judas moving up on the name rank.
Well,
there's one priest, one priest wannabe. He shocked his friends and family in Virginia by leaving his job as a high-paid consultant to become a campus missionary. Now, shaking off the comforts of his privileged life he once had, and could still return to at any time, Steve finds himself simultaneously drawn to and terrified of the level of sacrifice he must make in order to truly heed God's call.
Okay.
He's 25.
Hey, Steve, I've got words for you, but if you want to find out what they are, you got to give me a call in Houston.
Here we go. He's in an on-again, off-again relationship with his girlfriend, Amber. This is Dan. He's a fearless and passionate Catholic. You know, all he's got to do is grow the beard and goatee, and he could look like Jesus.
I think he is Jesus.
He's got the curly hair. You know, oh my God, his girlfriend's name's Amber.
Oh, well.
What stage does she perform on?
Amber, darling, you're doing something wrong.
Here's another guy there. His girlfriend, Allie. And, you know, one of the things is this. In Catholic canons, there are seven sacraments.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're called. And those are the highest things you can attain to in the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
The problem is you can really technically only have six of them, because one of the sacraments is the sacrament of
marriage,
and one of them is the sacrament of the priesthood. And you know, you could have gotten married and she dies and you become a priest, so you could have all seven. Or if you're from one of the if it's the Greek Catholic Church, then you can actually be married, and they're so desperate for priests, they're taking in Greek
Catholics. I think that's one of the reasons for the show too, is just the fact that it really, I mean, there was one on 60 Minutes or one of those things about, you know, how minuscule the amount of men that are in seminary, and even more how few women are becoming nuns these days, which I think is a good sign.
Yeah.
But
Why do you think they call them nuns?
Because they get none.
You know, well, just lots of reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of reasons of just, you know, does this make any sense ultimately?
Okay, here's the one here. Joe Adair, 28, a campus counselor at John John Carroll University in Cleveland. He's already been in and out of the seminary twice, is now considering whether to enter for a third time. Unlucky in love and under family pressure to become a priest, but still uncomfortable with the idea of celibacy.
Yeah.
John knows that his perpetual indecision has cost him the last 10 years of his life.
John, go to the ripcord.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just, I mean, I think it's like, it's a no-brainer why there are less people going to be a priest. Basically, because enough people see it's sort of an insane thing to do, given the way they have it set up. Now, and they refuse to modify it. Duh, no-brainer.
And I think another part of it is the fact, when you look at, I mean, for some people, they might look at this and go, you know, if I go in and become a priest, people are going to think, you know, I'm doing it because I'm gay.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You know, this was part of the reason why there are so many gay men who are Catholic priests is it's one way of avoiding the question of, well, when are you going to get married?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when am I going to have grandchildren?
Yeah, when am I going to have grandchildren? Where's that nice, when are you going to bring a nice girl home to dinner?
But, I mean, there was, I mean, for years in Catholic families, there was the designated nun and the designated priest in your zillions of children.
All hail la familia.
Yeah, I mean,
my family expected I was going to be a Catholic priest.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't date in high school. I was very big in the Catholic church when I was younger. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was an altar boy. I moved up to be a lector. I'm big everywhere, but
and
I was big in the Catholic church.
And back in the day, people did not question their assigned roles in the family, and so they did it. And now that people are thinking for themselves, it just don't work.
The times are changing.
But, you know, it's an interesting little show that's coming. It started a little bit of controversy. You know, you've got religion, you've got sex, and you've got, you know, Catholics.
Yeah. But then again, didn't the Book of Daniel also cause this controversy?
And where is it on the schedule?
Exactly, yeah.
Therein lies my question. Where is this also going to end up in the schedule?
Well, it's A&E. So, you know, they take a little more of a risk here and there. They're cable, so, you know, they've already filmed the whole series.
I think with certain reality shows, they kind of have a life expectancy, and they're sort of a planned obsolescence. They run them for however long, and then boom.
Then how do you explain the Survivor series?
Lots of interest. People, you know, I occasionally watch an episode with my mom or my brother, and
better you than me.
It can catch your attention. I can see where a lot of people tune in. I don't, but, you know.
The only reason I ever watched it was for
it brings out the worst in everybody, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing with reality shows. I mean, I heard somewhere that they're talking about bringing back Boy Meets Boy on Bravo. And I think I don't know. This is rumor. I hadn't heard anything about it. I didn't see it on the stuff there. But you know, the Boy Meets Boy was the Bravo series where they had a gay man dating, and they brought in 25 men, and half of them were gay, and half of them were straight.
Right.
And they didn't tell him that until the end, and he ended up picking the gay guy. From what I've heard from the rumor, like I said, I haven't had a chance to check it out, but supposedly what the twist is going to be this year is that some of the men are women.
Oh.
Drag kings.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I'm going to have to check into that one. They're just considering the source, but...
Sorry, but if I'm looking at a stud, I want to make sure it's a stud.
I mean, come on. At some point in time, you're going to try and cop a feel. So, I mean, we're talking about prosthetics. And then, you know, Boy Meets Boy, sponsored by Strap-On. Strap-On.
Funny you should mention that.
Did you change back batteries lately?
There is an article in the one of the latest advocates about...
An article that's an ad, Jimmy.
Life... No, not this. Life in the T-Zone. It's that there's a bunch of transgender folks, female to male in particular, who do not want to go all the way.
Right. Right.
They are calling themselves, what is it, gender queer.
Right.
And so there are females who are taking testosterone, but have no intentions of having an operation.
They do breast reduction, some of them.
Some of them have done breast reductions, but they don't want to be either male or female. They want to be somewhere in the middle.
Why would anybody want to be androgynous?
Yeah.
Ask Gigi.
I think it's a perfectly fine option.
Yeah. And along with that,
I think a lot of Texans have a problem with, you know, tops and bottoms and who's got the most prestige, and you got to make a decision one way or the other. But androgyny is time honored tradition.
Yeah.
I'll just flip it.
I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, well, some of it also could come from the fact of how much extra that costs.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, because, you know, the testosterone part will supposedly shrink the breast size. You know, if you're transitioning the other way, estrogen will help increase the breast size.
Mm-hmm.
On that portion, so, you know, you've got the look.
So the testosterone will facilitate facial hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will lower the voice permanently.
Mm-hmm. As long as you keep taking the stuff.
It will increase the libido.
Wow.
Yeah. Honey, I already know the reason what testosterone does. I'm waiting to get my insurance so I get the shots again. I'm planning on becoming an M to M. Lowercase M to big M.
Big man.
No.
A masked man?
No, no. I'm,
you want to do what?
No, it's one of the things that I discovered years ago, and it's something that, you know, a lot of guys ought to check, is, you know, testosterone levels. Ooh. You know, we had a transgendered host on here who one time commented on what her testosterone levels were before she transitioned, and I'm like, and you know, didn't realize she was transgender. You know, mm-hmm. She was very very passable.
Yes,
she had twice the testosterone than I do. When she started.
Wow.
So it's like,
I don't even know my level.
But see, it's something that, you know, you do need to know, because it does help with libido, and, you know, it means a monthly shot, unless you want to go on the daily patch.
I think some of these transgender people, Jim and Jimmy were talking about, are like the ultimate tomboys, mm-hmm. in the sense of they don't actually want to have a penis. They don't want to be a guy. They want to be able to act like guys. They want to be able to just live a guy life, but
like
still
being,
be, you know, have...
Still be female.
They like their you know, their organs.
Yeah.
Mistaken
and,
for it.
Yeah.
And with just doing
it
the hormone...
It sounds sort of cool to me, actually.
I mean, with the hormone part, it will be the, you know, the passability portion on there. You know, the only thing it doesn't take care of is, you know, refurbishing the basement.
Installing the new wedding tassel.
Here we go, John Dark.
Meeting to the edge.
Yeah.
Well, the common desire is to want to pick and choose certain effects of testosterone.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that's not the reality, because it affects different people differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you may want the deep voice and not necessarily get it.
Based upon your DNA.
And you have to also be very careful, because if you're a female taking testosterone, because it can affect your liver.
It also makes you somewhat aggressive.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
And testosterone is a lot more powerful than estrogen. That's why,
yes.
One of the reasons why you see female to male transgender people are, you know, I hate to use the term, but the phrase of being more passable than a female, a male to female.
Oh, yes.
Because the testosterone is such a strong hormone that it doesn't counteract as easily.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's some people want to get changes to their voice and to their musculature, and the voice changes are irreversible. But if a person stops taking testosterone, their musculature will go back to how it was before.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's... And like I said, you know, there's three main ways that you get testosterone. There's a shot.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cream.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a patch.
Yeah. Androgel is the cream.
Yeah.
And then the patch comes in...
Yeah, the patch.
Different
the patch is a fun thing. It's, you know, it's a patch you have to wear 24 hours a day.
Wow,
and they're not fun.
They're not fun. They're about, you know, about 2x3 inch
mm-hmm.
bandage, and you can't put it in the same spot. So you have to rotate it around between either your arms or your legs.
Mm.
And like I said, you leave it on there for 24 hours.
And if you're very hairy, that can be a problem.
Well, if you're very hairy, then you probably don't need testosterone. The gorilla gene is part of the testosterone.
Uh-huh. I see.
So, but no, it's one of those things that, you know, it's annoying, you know. I don't know how smokers go through it. I mean, I would start smoking again if I had to wear a patch all the time.
I've never worn one.
But, I mean, it's actually the smoker's patches are a lot smaller than this.
The
one for... I wore a patch for a while. I couldn't keep it lit.
You ought to try putting it over your mouth. Maybe that'll help stop it.
Nothing will stop him.
No, afraid not.
How about a ball gag?
Hell, you haven't seen the commercials? You can't stop a train, damn it.
Temporary stuff.
But the patches.
That's T-R-A-N-E, not T-R-A-I-N.
Or T-R-A-N-N-Y.
Well, thank you. This isn't the Scripps Howard Spelling Bee. What, David?
The patches also can be very irritating to the skin. The
yeah.
I had to stop taking them when I first started taking testosterone. I tried the patches because I figured it'd be easier than going to my doctor's every month to get testosterone shots. But they irritated my skin so bad I had to quit taking them. So I started doing the shot in the neither regions every month.
The neither regions?
Yeah. You
my left cheek.
It's a shot in the ass.
Ouch. Oh, kind of like my flu shot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Same people leave that, so it's...
It doesn't matter what kind of shot you get. No, there's no substitute for a good old hot beef injection.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the clinic I went to didn't have any cute guys there to poke me in the butt.
they're
unlike some people's doctors.
Hey!
Testosterone does not assimilate into the blood, you know.
Yeah.
It does make you feel
and
good.
And that kind of poking you don't get in a doctor's office.
Hey, but for $20, it was cheaper than what you get on the street. Or from Justin Perry.
telephone.
Man. Yeah, so what? Yeah, I'll kill your mic so you can talk. Answer the phone. We are getting close to the end here. And this is...
They're actually out in the lobby in Portland.
This is our season finale. This is it of our Friday nights.
Yes, we're going back to Saturday nights.
Classic schedule.
I'm told.
Saturday. Yep. And, let me get the right CD. Okay, I got 2 minutes on that one. Well, it's been fun here. We've been here for about a year.
Yeah.
I had to kill the mic.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, you know, I don't have the song I wanted to play at the end here. I've got the song, but it's a different version.
Yeah.
And...
Uh-oh.
The reason why playing the song is, in a way, to pay tribute to the show that we took their time slot, that we took over their time slot of Esoteric Adventures.
Yes.
And this was their closing theme song.
Every show for...
How many years?
God, it was on from the late 80s through last year.
So, you know, 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
Jimmy, how you holding up without JC?
Not well.
That bad.
JV, huh? He's JC.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But one so closely approximated the other, you know.
I know.
So, you know, paying tribute to that, and the song's title just... seems appropriate for how we're feeling on here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, originally, I wanted to do a homecoming queen contest. Have people call in and we'll announce the homecoming queen of After Hours. Because, you know, that's what we think it is. We're going back to where we belong.
Yeah, where we were for nearly 18 years. And, well, 17 and a half years. So. And we're going back.
Is this that song from the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
It certainly is. But this is from the... Taken from the Rocky Horror
punk rock show.
Yes. So
it's not Tim Curry. It's the Migraines. And
please, you're giving me one.
Next week, we're
Pat and Rosie will be in. Yeah, Pat and Rosie will be here in this time slot.
So get ready, and from what we're saying here, we're going home. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
Effective Sunday, April 16th, KPFT will adjust its program schedule. These changes reflect your feedback and new collaboration between our staff, board, and listeners via KPFT's Program Council. A few of these changes include: late-night music shows will return to three-hour blocks with various changes to the scheduling. Our 1 to 3 p.m. weekday afternoon block will transpose, with public affairs programming starting at 1 and music at 2. Our traffic jam afternoon music blocks shift back 3 to 5 p.m., with KPFT News and Free Speech Radio News coming in at 5 and 5:30 p.m., respectively. On Monday nights, Queer Voices returns to its 8 to 10 p.m. slot. On Wednesday nights, Arab Voices moves to 7 p.m., Technology Bites to 8. The Other Side expands to 90 minutes Thursday nights. Solar Grooves returns to its Saturday slot, and After Hours returns to late Saturday nights. On Sunday nights, The Haiti Show moves to 7:30 p.m. New programming, including The Peace Hour, Pat and Rosie's Night Sounds, Interchange with Larry Payne, World Music Express with Harrison Kumi, and a new youth show join KPFT. Those are just a few of our scheduling changes taking effect April 16th. Visit kpft.org for a full list. This is KPFT Houston.
DIL, or Developments in Literacy, is a nonprofit organization committed to wiping out illiteracy in the remote, underprivileged areas of Pakistan, including as many girls as possible.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.